Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi everyone, my name is Brianna Contreras and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In this episode, Senior Editor Peter Werwein and I spoke with Julie Olson, who is Senior Director of Population Health and Product Development at Navitus. Navitus is a full pass-through pharmacy benefits management company. In this discussion, we talked about how Navitus has created a clinical engagement center designed to improve medication adherence and reduce both member and plan prescription costs while easing benefit transitions. We also discussed what it means to be a full pass-through PBM and how it compares to other PBMs. For those listeners and viewers tuning in today, we have Julie Olson, Senior Director of Population Health and Product Development at Navitus, joining us today. Thank you, Julie, for having a conversation with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. So to get started, I first wanted to ask, for those who aren't familiar with Navitus, can you provide a little background about the company, what it does and where it's located, and maybe just a bit of your background as well?
Sure, absolutely. So Navitus Health Solutions is a full pass-through transparent PBM located in Madison, Wisconsin. We've been around for 18 years. We really grew out of the pharmacy departments of two managed care organizations. So as we like to say, we have managed care in our DNA. Today, we have over 7 million lives and 700 clients that cross all lines of business and really membership in all 50 states. And then for me, so I've been a nurse. I've been in healthcare for the past 28 years. I'm a doctor of nursing practice. My focus has been on health systems leadership and quality. For the past 12 and a half years, I've had the great opportunity to work with a fantastic team of physicians, nurses, product managers, and pharmacists at Navitus. And our goal is really to design, implement, and execute clinical programs on behalf of our clients. And so that's where I've spent the last 12 and a half years.
Oh, wonderful. Now, getting into the conversation more, what does it mean to be a full pass-through PBM, and how does that differ from how other PBMs operate?
Sure. So Navitus is very unique because of our transparent full pass-through model. At Navitus, our full pass-through model really means that 100% of any network discount or pharmaceutical rebate that we acquire goes directly back to our clients. This really allows us to take unnecessary spend out of the pharmacy space and really helps lower both member and plan sponsors' overall drug spend. We work routinely with manufacturers and pharmacies to make sure that we're negotiating the best possible prices, rebates, and discounts for our clients, and then we pass that all back through. That's not necessarily true in the traditional model. What we know in the traditional PBM space is that they may take a portion of that, which is called spread, or keep some of the rebates as a way to make money. So what I would tell you is there are significant differences between a traditional PBM and how Navitus does business.
Wonderful. Thank you. Now, PBMs also get criticized for being the profit-making middlemen, so to say, in the drug supply chain. Is that unfair? And how does Navitus answer those criticisms?
Well, what I would tell you is, you know, sort of what I was alluding to, not all PBMs are made the same. There's significant differences between a pass-through, fully transparent model and a traditional PBM model. We take the unnecessary costs, such as spread, out of the equation so that we can lower the cost. Traditional PBMs tend to have multiple revenue streams that are not always obvious to the purchaser of PBM services. At Navitus, we have a single agreed upon administration fee that is open and transparent to our clients at every point in time. And I think one of the things that's often missing from the conversation is the value that PBMs bring to the healthcare ecosystem. So as an example, every single prescription is evaluated for safety and efficacy concerns. We have evidence-based formularies, utilization management programs that really make sure that people are getting the right medication at the right time and in line with national clinical guidelines. And then I would just say, you know, one of the great benefits of a PBM is that we have access to real-time analytics data. So as a plan sponsor, you're going to have more real-time access to be able to shift your benefit and understand what your population is doing. So, you know, the other thing I would say is we don't always answer this criticism. We let any prospective clients talk to existing clients. This often takes care of itself. We have a very, call it large population of organic growth based on the way that we take care of our clients.
Great, thank you.
So Peter Werwine here. We're going to get into the question of the client clinical engagement center, but just one more question about the pass-through model. So, well, actually two. So is your administrative fee sort of set and it's a certain percentage? How do you arrive at that administrative fee? And is it, could you tell us what it is?
Yeah, no, so I would say that there's a range of administrative fees by client, depends on what services are being asked for. What we know across the country is that, you know, if nothing else, Navitus is incredibly flexible. And so what we do is really want to meet the goals of our clients. So some of our clients come to us for a full service PBM offering. Others want to carve out pieces and products. And so the PMPM fee or the administrative fee will vary slightly based on the line of business and the population and the products that are needed for that particular client.
And just one more question about your business model. So it's a pass-through model. Now, you know, the idealized version of the formulary that PBMs use is that it's based on cost effectiveness. You know, that you put drugs on the formulary based on their, you know, on their clinical effectiveness, but you sort of fold in price considerations, sort of a bang for the buck type thinking. So does your pass-through model sort of mean that your formulary is governed more by cost effectiveness than some other formularies where the drugs are on the formulary by virtue of the rebates paid?
Yeah, so what I would tell you is it the formulary decisions are always a client decision. So we have some clients that want to come in with a very locked down formulary. And of course, they're probably going to get the biggest bang for the buck, to use your words, in terms of lowest net cost. Other clients feel comfortable and want to have a more open formulary. So those are client decisions. We as an organization absolutely have a national P&T committee that provides recommendation based on the specific client population to bring an ideal formulary forward. So first and foremost, we make sure that the clinical efficacy is equal before even addressing the cost. So it's not a matter of simply putting the lowest cost drugs on. We want to make sure that we have a wide representative formulary that meets the needs of the nation and while we're doing it, lowering cost. But first and foremost, we make sure that the drugs are clinically efficacious.
Interesting. So let's pivot a little bit to the occasion of this conversation, which is your company has started something you're calling a client engagement center. So could you just tell us a little bit about that? In the release that you sent out, I think you mentioned several elements: medication therapy management, academic detailing, and something I think you're calling personalized member transition.
Yes.
So maybe just sketch what this new endeavor is about.
Sure. Thank you, Peter. So our clinical engagement center is really an effort to be able to engage with prescribers and members in new and different ways. So at Navitus, we're a listening, a learning, and a growing organization. So what we've heard from the marketplace is that they want new and different types of engagement with both the prescribers and the members. So our clinical engagement center is essentially a clinical call center that will help members with transition. It will perform medication therapy management programs, as well as engage with prescribers, working them toward a lowest net cost approach medication. We know that prescribers are well-intentioned, but they don't always have all the cost information in front of them when they're making a prescribing decision. And so that's another piece of what the Navitus Clinical Engagement Center will bring to the table.
So let's look at this from the prescriber point of view. This sounds a little bit like prior authorization and utilization review, albeit in a pharmaceutical environment. So I'm a doctor who's ordered a drug. Is this client engagement center going to question my decision and I'm going to find it annoying?
That's a great question. So I would say it's very different than PA or UM. It's not a mandatory switch. We're taking a very educational approach. We all know that there's parts of the healthcare system that are broken. We all know that the healthcare costs are skyrocketing in this country. This is one way for us to engage in a peer-to-peer conversation with a prescriber about the actual cost of the medications in front of them at the point of care. Often that information is elusive to a prescriber, and with how frequently medication pricing changes, it's very difficult for them to keep up. So I would say it's not a mandatory switch. It's more of an education and an offering about, hey, this is what's on the formulary. Here's a lower net cost approach. This is something we think you should consider.
So what will be the actual experience of the prescriber in working with your client engagement center? Will they get an email? Will they get a ping on the EHR? What will it look like?
Yeah. Sure. So today, the Clinical Engagement Center is performing a telepharmacy component. So we are going to be calling prescribers who have members that we've identified opportunities where there's a lower cost pharmacy switch that could be made. Navitus has done this work for years. Historically, he have provided it in a print piece. The Clinical Engagement Center will allow us to use another channel of communication directly to the prescribers.
So it's a switch from something that you send in the mail, you never know whether it got read, to an actual sort of phone call and some sort of real-time discussion.
Yeah, I would say it was a switch, but it's also augmenting. So we do know and we measure our print programs, if you will. And so there is a level of engagement and switches that occur through the print piece. We are adding this new channel of telepharmacy to be able to offer the prescriber the ability to engage with a pharmacist on that actual drug therapeutic issue. So they, you know, if there's concerns, if there's questions, we can have that peer-to-peer conversation directly.
Now, I'm familiar with the term academic detailing, mm-hmm. But for those who aren't, this is a component of your client engagement center, as I understand it. So could you tell us a little bit what you mean by academic detailing and how that will be deployed and experienced in the context of this client engagement center?
Sure, and so that's exactly what I was just mentioning, is the opportunity to inform prescribers of lower net cost offerings. So really what we do in an academic detailing program is we analyze prescribing patterns, and then we help inform healthcare providers about equally effective lower cost formulary alternatives. This outreach could then reduce costs both for the plan sponsors as well as the members. And so this is all evidence-based medicine, focusing, as I mentioned earlier, on equally clinically efficacious medications.
So what is your source of information in terms of what is the best choice, the most cost-effective choice? It can be, you know, there's a lot of judgment, and, you know, it would require a full-on research effort to sometimes bring these cost and effectiveness issues into focus. So are you developing that information and evidence on your own, or are you acquiring it from another entity?
So Navitus has a drug information department, as well as a national P&T that I mentioned earlier, that really does the work to synthesize the evidence that is out there from multiple sources. So they look across any research that has been done on a specific drug category, disease state, and then they put together that information in a concise packet that is then presented to our national P&T committee, which is representative of prescribers from around the country, varying levels, pharmacists, physicians, nurses, looking at the recommendations. And then that governing body goes through and makes decisions based on the clinical evidence in front of them. So it's not outsourced, it's really a synthesis of existing evidence and literature on medications.
Yeah, I was wondering whether you would tap into something like the ICER reports to arrive at decisions, or whether you sort of go at this independently through your P&T committee.
Yeah, so ICER reports are also viewed as a source of information. And then we have our own sort of grading system for the evidence that's put in front of us, so that every single research article that is brought forward, a piece of research, is evaluated in terms of quality.
Now, going into this, do you have a sense, or even a program, about which particular populations you're going to look at, or people with certain sorts of disease? I think that autoimmune disease and diabetes tend to be very expensive, and an area with a lot of management issues. And I don't know whether you're going to focus those prima facie, or whether you're just going to sort of let this roll out and see what needs to be dealt with.
Yeah. So to start, it's the three programs that I mentioned: medication therapy management, a fully CMS compliant program, which tends to impact the elderly and a lot of the chronic disease states that you might expect: hypertension, diabetes, obesity, depression, things like that. In the academic detailing space, it's really across the entire gamut, both of age and disease states, because we're really looking for opportunity to lower the cost and have that conversation with the prescriber. In the personalized transition services, this is really about onboarding new clients. So we really view it as a warm touch, a way to help handhold through a potentially really difficult time when we're asking members to potentially switch a medication. And so, Navitus has fully functioning specialty programs across all of our lines of business. And so we spend a lot of time in some of the disease states you mentioned. Since we've rolled this out, we are already getting requests for lots of different outreach efforts, I would say. So the sky's the limit. There's a lot of things on our roadmap in terms of what we will do next in the Clinical Engagement Center here at Navitus.
So is the same pharmacist who's maybe talking to the prescriber about, hello, Dr. Jones, I would like you to think about, drug A instead of drug B, because our research shows that it's more effective and less expensive. Is that same person going to be talking to the patient, or do you have a different set of people, and maybe with a different sort of training, to speak to civilians?
Right. Yeah. So today we have the same group of pharmacists and pharmacy technicians and nurses talking to patients and prescribers. As we continue to grow, and if we see a need for differentiation there, that will definitely occur. What we find is really the training of a pharmacist is well-versed in addressing members as well as prescribers. It's sort of in their wheelhouse what they do. So far we've been very satisfied with the ability to address all the questions that have been coming in.
And when your organization starts a program like this, and maybe you proposed it, there's going to be somebody who says, maybe in a predictable fashion, so how are you going to measure success? How do you know whether this is working, and what adjustments might you make along the way. So how have you designed this so you can sort of gauge, you know, whether it is working and what tweaks you might make?
Sure. So every population health program at Navitus has an outcome measurement component with it that is no different. In fact, we often start with what are the outcome measures we would want to get to before we even launch a program. And so for each of the three programs I mentioned today, there are specific and numerous outcome metrics that we will provide to our clients and also use internally to maybe tweak the program, understand what's effective, is there something that's not effective, should we be approaching the population in new and different ways, are we addressing the population in a manner that is pleasing to them in the way in which they want to be communicated through their medication journey. And so we're really taking a look at all of our programs at Navitus through the lens of the member, addressing member experience up front, but also the prescriber experience. We have a lot of health plan clients and really understanding what's valuable to a prescriber. To your point about, will the prescriber get angry? You know, my goal is, I hope not, but as a nurse for 28 years, I can tell you that, you know, nobody likes to be told how to practice medicine or nursing or pharmacy. But our goal is not to tell them how to do that. Our goal is to augment and support. There's simply so much information in the healthcare stream right now, you cannot stay on top of it. One of the great benefits and values that the PBM does bring to the country is this real-time data analytics. And so we know what's happening as it's happening. And so to convey that information to prescribers as quickly as we can, or in a professional peer-to-peer conversation, we believe is going to be helpful.
And when exactly did this program start?
So we did a soft launch in October and then an official launch 1-1 of this year.
And do you think that a program like this might improve the reputations of PBMs who, you know, are... If people know what they are, they don't like them.
Well, as somebody who works for PBM for a long time, I hope so. My goal in designing programs like this is really to improve member health and lower cost in the healthcare system. It's just simply not sustainable the way it's going today. And so, you know, if our reputation gets improved along the way, that's a great side benefit, I would say.
Julie, for these last, you know, three remaining minutes, if there's anything, you know, we did not cover, which I feel like we did, but if you wanted to share anything else that we did not ask you or cover.
You know, I would just say that it's an exciting time at Navitus. We are different. We are disruptors. We have been different from the beginning since the inception of when Navitus was made. And so I hope what you've heard today is a little bit different than what you expected from a PBM. And I hope to have ongoing continuing conversations. Our focus is to change the way people see PBM services, and I think we're doing that. So I appreciate the time, and thank you so much for all the questions.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.